dealing with the subject, last couple of weeks anyway, I've been dealing with the subject of divine healing, the God who heals, just to keep before us the fact that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what the Bible says in Hebrews 13:8. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We base our theology, our belief on what the Bible says, not on anybody else's experience, not even on our own personal experience. We base what we believe on what saith the Scriptures. And we've looked at some Old Testament Scriptures dealing with the Lord. I'm the Lord that healeth thee, Exodus 15:26. We look at quite a number of Scriptures, both Old and New Testament. Last week we looked at healing in the atonement from the Great Atonement chapter of the Old Testament, Isaiah 53. Himself took our infirmities, bare our sicknesses, by His stripes we're healed. Today, I want to ask a question, and before you're too hasty to answer, I would like for you to think about it just for a minute. The question is, if there's healing in the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ, if healing is promised to us, if healing is provided for us, if it was provided for us at Calvary, as the Bible teaches, then would it be wrong for us as a Christian, would it be wrong for us to go to a doctor? Would it be wrong for us to take medication? Would it be wrong for, would that be leaning on the arm of the flesh? If the Lord provides healing, would it be, is it sin? Is it unbelief? Is it a lack of faith? If we have medical treatment, if we seek out a earthly physician. Now, believe me, this is a question that is worthy of our consideration, and I have been on both sides of the matter. Because I can give you some good, strong reasons why a Christian ought not to go to the doctor. And then I'm going to give you some reasons why perhaps it's okay. But, like I said, this is something I would like for us to treat with... we're going to tread softly here because... there are a number of issues that we have to consider. Well, just for instance, before you answer too hastily, consider this. The Lord doesn't need a doctor to heal anybody. Amen. I mean, He's the Lord. If He wants to heal the sick, He heals the sick. Doesn't need a physician, doesn't need medication, doesn't need anything we bring to the equation. He just heals the sick. He can restore our health. He can heal us. Consider that. Consider the Lord's example when He walked the earth. He didn't carry a little black medical bag with Him. He didn't give anybody a pill other than the gospel pill. He didn't do any of those things. He prayed for the sick. He cast out demons, and the sick were healed. The blind saw, the lame walked. No surgeries required. So we know the Lord doesn't need medication to heal anybody. Amen. That's not the question. That's not the issue. The Lord did not bring a team of doctors with Him. He didn't choose physicians to follow Him. He had fishermen follow Him. When He went to a foreign land, He prayed for the sick there, and they were healed. He didn't go in and build a medical mission. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But, I mean, these are arguments that I would give you about something for you to think about. We could even argue from silence. You know what the argument from silence is? It's that the Bible doesn't say it. So, you know, you can argue either way when the Bible doesn't say it. But an argument from silence would be, well, the Lord Himself never went to a doctor. So should we do something the Lord Himself never did? Of course, that's not really a very good argument. And I'm going to tell you why for two reasons. There's several things the Lord didn't do that we better do. Like the Lord didn't repent. And And he didn't repent because why? Because he never sinned. He was sinless. He was perfect. So being sinless, now think about this, being sinless, the curse came from sin. Death came from sin. Sickness came from sin. So, you know, I think you could make a theological argument that the Lord was immune from sickness. Because sickness can only, if it enters through sin, he never sinned. He didn't have a fallen human nature. He had a human nature, but he was preserved from the fallen nature. So, I mean, you could make the argument he was preserved from sickness. I think it's a pretty sound argument. So why would he go to a doctor? He was called the physician, though. You know, they did call him a physician. Anyway, when he walked the earth, he did pray for the sick and deliver the oppressed, demonstrating that the spiritual realm presides even over the natural realm. We do know that he is the will of the Father in action. He said, I only do what the Father tells me to do. So whatever he did was God's will demonstrated. He healed the sick. That would reveal it's God's will to heal the sick. Hello. Y'all following me so far? Are your wheels turning? Are you spinning? Are you thinking about this? Are you thinking of something to refute my arguments? Well, you should be. What the Lord also did was he revealed that there was a kingdom coming, and he gave us a little glimpse into the future kingdom coming when his kingdom would be established on earth. And sin and sickness would be vanquished, and Satan would be bound, and there'd be no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more tears, no more pain. He gave us a little glimpse into that kingdom, you know, by his actions, healing the sick, delivering the oppressed. But until that day comes, when the Lord vanquishes all sickness, is it wrong for you and me? We're Bible-believing Christians. We say the Lord heals today, so should we trust him to heal us? And is it unbelief on our part if we go to the doctor? If we take medication, is it a lack of faith on our part that we're not trusting God as we should? Are we demonstrating a lack of confidence in God's healing? If it's his will to heal us, if healing's provided, then these are honest, earnest questions, don't you think? And questions we should consider. Now, some people, I've read arguments where people said, well, of course, it's a stupid question to even ask if you should go to the doctor, because if your car's broke, you take it to the mechanic. If your pipes break, you call a plumber. If you have a flat tire, you take it in to get it fixed. You don't even question that. So why wouldn't the same thing be true about your body? Well, it's a good argument. Say your roof leaks. I mean, you just call a roofer. So if your body hurts, if you got pain, you're sick, you call a doctor. I mean, so in their mind, it's not even a valid question. What might be the problem with that logic? Brother Joe? How about a microphone? That is exactly right. That's exactly right. Those things, we do live in a broken world, a fallen world, a world that's decaying all around us. We live in bodies that are aging. Everything around you is growing older. Things wear out, burn out, break down, have to be repaired, have to be replaced, whether it's your automobile, your dishwasher, your roof, your shoes. And we are subject to the ravages of time and age because we do not yet have a glorified body. We live in a body of flesh and blood and bone that is not immune to the ravages of time, decay. We are not impervious to disease because this is not yet a glorified body. So we have to trust the Lord each day and pray each day. Help us to stay well and so on. But Joe's answer was correct. If your roof breaks, you call a roofer. I mean, if it leaks, your pipes leak, you call a plumber. Because those things, that's not provided for us in the atonement. Like healing, as we've been seeing, is provided in the atonement. So I think that these are questions that are worthy of some consideration. I would also remind you that, you know, the Lord lived on the earth as a man, and he walked among us as a man. And while he did work miracles, pushing back the kingdom of darkness, that most of the time he did things like an ordinary man. If he was going to leave Galilee and go to Jerusalem, he didn't snap his fingers and transport himself there. He walked like everybody else. Or he rode a donkey like everybody else. He lived among us as one of us. Right? If he was going to go to the other side of the sea, he took a boat. There was an occasion where he walked across the sea. But then he was also God, and demonstrating for his disciples and for all of us the fact that the Lord's power supersedes the so-called powers of nature and gravity and all such things. The Lord can walk on water. He can multiply the fish. Although, for the most part, when he ate or his disciples were going to eat, they had to go prepare a meal, buy stuff, just like everybody else. Just like everybody else. That was a part of his life. There were times when he worked miracles, but, you know, for the most part, as far as everyday life, he did things just like we do. His shoes wore out. He might get a hole in his garment, had to be re-sewed, just like everybody else. But let's talk about this question. Let me give you some reasons why a person might declare that it would be wrong, it would be a lack of faith, perhaps even sinful, to go to the doctor instead of going to the Lord for the healing of your body. And I'll just mention a few of these, and then we'll kind of cover them a little bit. Like reason number one, second, we're going to look at this later, but 2 Chronicles 16, Asa, the king, the Bible says he got sick. He was diseased in his feet. And instead of going to the Lord, the Bible says instead he went to the physicians. Very specifically, he sought not to the Lord, but he sought to the physicians, and he died. So very clearly, it appears that Asa's actions in going to the physicians was contrary to the will of God. That can be presented as an argument. Like, either if you're sick, you can go to the Lord, or you can go to the physician. Go to the physician, you're outside of God's will. The Lord, he died. He let Asa die. So we'll come to that in just a minute. A second argument, the Lord's own example of healing, supernatural, no surgeries, no prescriptions. The Lord didn't keep a little prescription pad and say, "You're sick? Wait, let me write out a prescription for it." He healed him. He didn't have to refer anybody to a specialist and say, "Ooh, I need to send you to somebody, you know, more specialized." He just healed everybody. Number three, here's an argument we could give, and that is an argument from Matthew chapter 10 and verse 8, where the Lord said, "Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give." So the Lord healed everybody, didn't charge anyone. The Lord's healing, we could say, the Lord's healing is not only complete, no bad side effects, but it's free, which is more than we can say for our human efforts. Also, we could mention under this particular thought that the Lord healed the poor. In fact, he went specifically to the poor, whereas in our system, the poor are the least cared for. They get the least care. They get the worst care. The rich get the best care. So it would appear that if God has transferred his healing power to the medical profession, well, then he now prefers the rich over the poor, because the rich get the best care, the poor get the least. You see, I'm making an argument. Y'all follow me so far? All right. Here's the next one. We could see what seems like a derogatory mention of the medical profession in Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. Now, I would like for you to turn to this one with me. Mark chapter 5. Y'all awake? All right, I'm going to try and keep you awake. Mark 5, we'll read a couple of verses over here. This is a very familiar account. The account of the woman with the issue of blood who came to the Lord for healing. Verse 25. Now, you know, there's a big crowd around the Lord, verse 24 says, Mark 5, 24, big crowd around him. And they thronged him, they pressed in on him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, this lady was sick, had a bleeding condition for 12 solid years. And here's how her condition is described, verse 26. She had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind. She touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body she was healed of that plague. And y'all are familiar with the story. The Lord, knowing to himself that power had gone out of him, he turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? The disciple said unto him, you see this multitude thronging you, and you said, who touched you? A whole bunch of people touched you. He looked around to see her that had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Now remember, when you have a bleeding condition, you're unclean. And if you touch somebody under the law, you make them unclean. A woman, even during her cycle, is considered unclean. So here's a woman with a bleeding condition. She was not supposed to be touching, reaching in there and touching the Lord. But she did. And now she's afraid because she knew she got healed. Now she's afraid. And that's why the Bible says, verse 33, she's fearing and trembling, knowing what was done. She came and fell down before him, told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of your plague. So, excuse me. Let's look again at verse 26 and see how Mark describes this. Here's a poor lady. She's been sick for 12 years, a very long time. She suffered many things of many physicians. Now, I'll tell you what, if a person has been sick and has been trying to get an accurate diagnosis, they can identify with this poor lady. She suffered many things from many physicians. Now, people suffer today many things from many physicians trying to get an accurate diagnosis. Sometimes it's like your car. They don't know what's wrong with your car, so they just start changing parts out on it. I mean, they can't really change parts on your body, but they try one thing after another. Well, we'll try this medication. That didn't work. Well, that might have made it worse. We'll try this. We'll do this treatment, and that hurts you more than it helped you. And then we'll do this. And so you can identify with this. She suffered many things of many physicians. Obviously, she sought second opinions, third opinions, fourth opinions, and so on. Sometimes the treatment can be as bad as the sickness. Sometimes it can be worse. But according to the scriptures, all the treatments only added to her misery. Says she was nothing better, but rather grew worse. So her miseries were only multiplied, and not only that, not only did the doctors leave her sick, but they left her broke, because verse 26 says she spent all that she had. So whatever she had was now depleted. They took all her money. Now she's sicker than before, plus she's broke. So you look at this, and the Bible doesn't seem to have a high regard for the medical profession. Add that to what we considered a couple weeks ago, Job 13, you are all physicians of no value, bunch of worthless doctors, and so on. You could come to the conclusion that the Bible looks with a certain disdain upon the entire medical profession. But would that be an accurate if you came to that conclusion, you think it would be an accurate conclusion? I mean, can you position stand up in light of everything the Bible has to bear or brings to bear on the subject of healing, physicians? Now, look, don't think this isn't something that I haven't wrestled with, because it's something I've wrestled with for years. But I would like for us to take a look at some of this in a little bit more detail, and I think we may get a better picture of what the Bible does bring to bear on the subject if we look at it as a whole. To do that, keep your finger here in Mark 5, because I'm planning to come back here, but I would like for you to turn with me to 2 Chronicles 16. This is the passage that deals with King Asa, the first passage we mentioned. King Asa, who was diseased in his feet and who died. I'm in 2 Chronicles. Chapter 16. Now, Asa was, you read early in his life, he was a good king, a godly king, good man. But he got sick. Verse 12 says, I'm in 2 Chronicles 16, verse 12. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. And verse 13, and Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 41st year of his reign. They buried him in his own sepulchres, which he had made for himself in the city of David, and laid him in the bed which was filled with sweet odors and divers kinds of spices prepared by the apothecary's art. They made a very great burning for him. So, he got sick. And in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but he sought to the physicians. The physicians must have given him some relief, or perhaps did him at least some good, because he held on for a couple of years before he died. You notice verse 12 says, in the 39th year of his reign, he got sick. And then in verse 13, in the 41st year of his reign, he died. So for 2 years, he hung on. I mean, he had this sickness. Obviously, that's the Lord's mercy. We know that the Lord gave him space to repent. So, from this passage, could we draw the conclusion that it's wrong to go to the doctor? That going to the doctor is sinful, or a lack of faith, or an act of rebellion, or an act of unbelief, that he went to the doctor instead of going to the Lord, and look what happened to him. Actually, Asa's sin can't be described merely as that he went to the doctor. His sin was far worse. His sin was grievous. His sin was his rebellion against God. His heart had turned, and he was in full-fledged rebellion against the Lord. It's kind of like if a fellow was walking against Winky in the crosslight, you know, in the crosswalk, and, you know, Winky turns green, says, now you can walk, and then suddenly a whole team of FBI agents swoop in on this guy, and they beat him to a pulp and drag him off to jail, and you say, my goodness, this guy, he didn't do anything except maybe a little jaywalking. But what you don't know is that this guy was a wanted criminal, you know, a convicted murderer, escapee, a terrorist, or whatever. You know, it's what you, on the surface, you could say, man, that guy just got carried off by the FBI for jaywalking. You like you would look at this passage and say, Asa died, God punished him because he went to the doctor. That's not really the case. And to see the whole case, look with me to verse 1. I'm in chapter 16, verse 1. In the 36th year of the reign of Asa, so now when he had been king for 36 years, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go in or come out to Asa, king of Judah. So now he's being threatened by Israel. Asa's king of Judah. So Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasuries of the house of the Lord and the king's house, and he sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt in Damascus, saying, there's a league between you and me, as there was between my father and your father. I've sent you silver and gold. Break your league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. So Ben-Hadad hearkened. He hearkened unto King Asa and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel, and they smote Ejon and Dan and El and... Where am I reading? And Abel-Maim and all the store cities of Naphtali. Here's the point. When Asa was surrounded by Israel's armies, when he was being attacked, instead of petitioning the Lord like the king is supposed to do, Lord, what action should I take here? He made a league, as we're told, verse 2, with Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria. He went to Syria for help. He made a league with them. Well, obviously, these things are forbidden. They were not supposed to do that. God was unhappy, so he sent the prophet to rebuke Asa. Verse 7 says, at that time, Hanani, the seer, that's what they call the prophets, came to Asa, king of Judah. He said unto him, because you have relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord your God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of your hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet, because you did rely on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from now on thou shalt have wars. So the word of the Lord comes to King Asa. Does he repent? No. Verse 10. Then Asa was wroth with the seer. Or as one version says, he was provoked to wrath. He was angry with the prophet. So he put him in the prison house, kill the messenger. He put the prophet in the prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. He was enraged. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. To oppress here means to crush, to break, to vex. The idea here is that Asa very cruelly mistreated many of the godly people, the ones who would have sided with the prophet, and many of them were killed as well. So Asa's problems were deep because of his rebellion against God. He was backslidden. That was his problem. He was backslidden. So then you read that verse 12, in the 39th year of his reign, he was diseased in his feet, exceedingly diseased. Now the Lord's chastising him. What's happening when a person is being chastised? It's to correct us, to humble us. He needed to repent. He needed look at these terrible things he had done, imprisoning the prophets of God, oppressing the people of God. He needed to repent, get right. But instead, when he got sick, instead of repenting, the Bible says, in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. So he was stubborn, he was prideful, he was defiant, he was arrogant, and the Lord was long-suffering with him. 2 years he lingered. 2 years he remained sick until he died. If he had only listened, you know, in chapter 15, look over here, same book, 2 Chronicles 15, the Bible says, verse 1, if he had listened to this other prophet, things would have been different. The Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. He went out to meet Asa, you know, the king of Judah. He said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, what will happen if you forsake him? He'll forsake you. Asa's problem was a heart problem. That's the problem. The idea that he went to the physicians is he went there instead of going to the Lord in repentance, in humility, in brokenness, in tears. He defied the Lord, and I'll see if I can get healed on my own, in some way on my own. But to use this passage to condemn the medical profession and to say going to a doctor is therefore to the Lord, unbelief or rebellion, well, you're coming to the wrong conclusion. You might be surprised at some of the things the Old Testament has to say, and I would like for us to look at a few verses tonight, if you would bear with me. There are numerous references to the medical practice in the Old Testament, several references. They are mostly in poetic passages of Scripture. They're used many times like proverbially or metaphorically. Nevertheless, they do reveal that there were medical treatments that were normal and normal part of everyday life for the Jews and religiously neutral. It didn't constitute going to a heathen witch doctor, in other words, or a temple of Aesculapius and so on. I'm just going to give you a few references. Y'all still awake? I'm going to read Isaiah 1. If you want to turn there, if you want to just listen, it's up to you. But I'm going to read Isaiah chapter 1. I'm going to read beginning in verse 5. Why should you be stricken anymore? Isaiah 1:5, ye will revolt more and more. He says, the whole head is sick, the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Now he's talking about a spiritual condition of Israel. They were in rebellion. They were sick sick spiritually, like a person is sick physically. I'm going to read it to you. In another version, it says, your whole head is injured, your whole heart afflicted. From the sole of your foot to the top of your head, there is no soundness, only wounds and welts and open sores. Not cleansed or bandaged or soothed with oil. It is a metaphorical passage, you know, dealing with a spiritual reality. Nevertheless, there's a couple of things here that I find interesting. It speaks of or speaks to what would be considered the normal practice if a person was sick, if they had open wounds or if they had a fracture. Look. He says, they have not been closed. The idea there is those wounds haven't been cleansed. Neither bound up. The idea is they have not been bandaged. Neither mollified with ointment. They have not been treated or soothed with oil or ointments or balm or, you know, some healing balm, which would constitute the way you would normally treat a sick, injured, wounded person. You would treat them. You would cleanse their wounds. You would bandage them. That's some sort of medical treatment there, right? And it's not frowned upon. That's my point. It's not frowned upon. It's just seen as what would be normal practice. Even though it's metaphorical, it still points out the fact that certain medical treatment was expected if a person was sick. Another passage, And again, you're going to see similarly, this is Jeremiah. Look with me to Jeremiah 8, if you like. I've taught on this passage before. Jeremiah 8, verse 22. Is there no balm in Gilead? Jeremiah 8, 22. Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Is there no balm in Gilead? Balm would, some versions translate it medicine. Is there no balm, no salve? We do know that the balm of Gilead was used for healing. It's referred to in Scripture numerous times. There is a healing balm. Is there no physician there, no healer, no doctor? No doctor in all of Gilead? Why is there no healing for the wound of my people? That's the point that he's making right here. Now, again, speaking of a spiritual sickness, but let's point out a couple of things we should consider right here. The physician in this passage is viewed in a positive light. Is there no physician there? Somebody who can help? Somebody who can assist? Somebody who can bring soothing, calming, healing? Is there no physician? The presence of a physician would be expected in a city like Gilead. Is there no physician in all of Gilead? Y'all following my logic here? This is just typical logic. Also, the physician would be considered a professional. Is there no physician there? He would be considered a professional at what they do. They treat illness, they treat sickness, they treat disease. And the physician would be expected to treat those who were wounded, injured, sick, with balm. So, again, it shows that there was the practice of medicine in ancient Israel, that it was commonplace for them to treat the sick, treat the injured with balm, which would be some sort of medicine to promote healing, with bandages, with cleansing of wounds. There was a medical practice, at least of some sort. It wouldn't be primitive by today's standards, but there was a medical practice going on, and it was not frowned upon. We can see that in these passages just by the references. They're not looked at in a derogatory manner as though this was some sinful thing. Y'all still following me? I hope so. All right, you still in Jeremiah? Look with me over to chapter 6. There's a passage over here we'll look at. Jeremiah 6, verse 14. He says, they have healed. Now he's talking about rebellion. Again, it's a metaphorical passage. He's talking spiritually here, but he says, they have healed also the hurt. The hurt here is a word that means break, a fracture, like a broken bone. They have healed also the fracture of the daughter of my people slightly, saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. False prophets. He's talking about false prophets here. They're making a mess of things. But the interesting thing we can take away from this passage is that there was the practice, there were practitioners who were known and skilled at setting bones, setting fractures, even in ancient times. It's pointed out in several other places. Jeremiah 46, I'm going to read a passage here. You can just listen if you like. What's evident as you read some of these passages, that there was a respected profession, recognized people who practiced healing, who they were not in any way condemned by being contaminated with occultism. We do know that there was, in the pagan world, healing gods and witchcraft and spells and potions and magic. But there was also in Israel a profession of medical healers, doctors, physicians, whose profession was religiously would be considered neutral. It was not demonic. It was not witchcraft. It was simply the practice of the physician. They would set bones. They were known to pull teeth. There's even passages that deal with them setting like plaster on broken bones so that the arm could heal and hold the sword again. Numerous reference to such things. I'm going to read this one, Jeremiah 46:11, where he says, "Go up into Gilead and take balm, O virgin, the daughter of Egypt. In vain shalt thou use many medicines, for thou shalt not be cured." Again, a metaphor, it's a prophetic metaphor here. It simply reveals that there was a usual practice to seek out various cures for serious afflictions, and it was not considered a demonic thing. You know, you're not turning to demons, you're not rebelling against God by seeking a physician. That's the point that I'm trying to make. So you could also add to that passages like Proverbs 17:22, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine." A merry heart is a good medicine. Translated in other versions like the New International Version and the American Standard Version, "A cheerful heart is a good medicine." The New American Standard Version, "A joyful heart is a good medicine." These things promote healing or promote health. Again, what I'm pointing out here, and I hope that I'm making it clear, is that medicines, cures, remedies were known and used routinely even in ancient Israel. And they were considered religiously neutral. It was not like going to the arm of the flesh. It was not rebellion against God. It was not denying God. It wasn't a lack of faith. Merry heart is like a good medicine. Might also reveal that there were some medicines that were not so good. Like today, there's some that, you know. Look, we know that medicines have side effects. Certainly, I don't believe that God has that he substituted the medical profession for his healing power. We know that for sure. Medical profession does the best it can do in addressing the ills of society. And we thank God for what they do, the relief that they can bring, alleviate suffering, set a bone, prescribe medications that can help. We also know medicines have side effects. The Lord's healing never had side effects. The Lord's healing is always better. The medical profession, sometimes the best they can do is cut something off. Just, I'm going to cut your leg off. I'm going to cut this off. Whereas the Lord just healed it. You know. Nevertheless, I do believe that I am guilty of having associated anything medical with unbelief, the realm of the demonic. I believe I have done that in the past. And I don't believe I may have been sincere, but I wasn't altogether right. Because my position doesn't hold up when you consider everything that the Bible has to say on the subject. When you consider it all. Now, I do believe that the Lord is a healer. And I believe we ought to run to him. I believe he's to be our first resort. You know, the lady with the issue of blood, she spent everything she had. She went to many, many physicians and suffered many things, the Bible says. But notice that the Lord did not rebuke her and say, "You went to all these evil physicians." We can't make the physicians, the doctors, an enemy. They're not an enemy. the Lord didn't rebuke her for any of that. When she heard of the Lord, then she went to him. The Lord was her last resort. The Lord should be our first resort. It was not an act of unbelief for her to go to the doctor. Let me tell you, this lady had more faith than anybody in the crowd because she's the one who got touched and got healed. She reached out and touched the Lord and got healed. I'm simply making a point, and I don't know how clear I'm making it, but the point is this. We do not deny the Lord. We are not in unbelief. We are not committing the sin of unbelief. If you take medicine for something that ails you, if you go to a doctor for a treatment, we trust the Lord. We pray. Prayer of faith heals the sick. And the doctor is religiously neutral. It's not going to witchcraft. They're not casting spells. They may not be saved, but they're doing the best they can with what they know. They are. You all awake? We also have some New Testament references that we can make. Luke 4, verse 23. The Lord said, again, this is metaphoric language, but the Lord said, surely you will say to me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. A proverb known at the time among many Jews. Physician, heal thyself. He said, that's what you will surely say to me. Luke 4:23. Of course, this was fulfilled when the Lord was on the cross and they were wagging their tongues at him and they said, he could save others, but he can't save himself, can he? Physician, heal yourself. Nevertheless, metaphor or not, it is a revealing statement. Oh, go ahead, brother. Let's get a microphone to Lonnie.
What about the realm of psychiatry, also stuff like acupuncture, Reiki, and yoga? A lot of doctors are New Age nuts now.
You're absolutely right, and that's a good question.
Especially the realm of psychotropic drugs and psychiatry and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's another matter altogether. And I have grave reservations about all of those things. I don't believe that we should submit ourselves to practices that are borrowed right out of the occult, like hypnosis. Even acupuncture, my understanding is acupuncture is derived from occult practices. It has no basis in science. So I would question that. I would think that that's something a person should be very careful about. As far as the the drugs that affect one's ability to reason and so on, unless it's a drug that they put you under with for surgery, but I would have reservations about that as well. I certainly would. But what we can see in Luke 4 and verse 23 is when the Lord said, you will say to me, physician, heal yourself, is that the physician was a well-known profession in the Lord's day. It's a familiar, he said, you'll say to me this proverb. So this proverb was very familiar to everybody. If it's familiar to everybody, that means seeking out the physician for sickness was a common practice among the Jews in the Lord's day. Obviously, it was a respected profession in the Lord's day. And obviously, it was not associated with some occult religious practice. It was not considered evil. It was just considered religiously neutral. That's even more obvious by the Lord's statement. Well, it's repeated in all three Gospels, but I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 9, if you'd like to turn there. I'm just going to keep you a few, little bit more, if you'll look with me, Matthew 9. Let's read a couple of verses over here. Here's the Lord's statement. I think this also is interesting. And again, it's a proverbial expression. Matthew 9:11. When the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, "Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners?" But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that means." Then he tells them what it means. "I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." All three of the synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, repeat this statement where the Lord says, "They that are whole do not need a physician, but they that are sick." Now, this too was an ancient proverb that, not taken out of Scripture, but it is found in the Talmud, that the one that is sick goes to the doctor. That's just a commonly accepted practice at the time, a proverbial expression well known at the time of Christ amongst the Jews, and it does teach us a spiritual lesson. He's talking here spiritually about, "I've come to call sinners to repentance. I haven't come to the righteous, I've come to call sinners to repentance." That's the spiritual lesson. Nevertheless, he makes the statement that the sick need a physician. If it was a common expression at the time, that means it was a common practice among the Jews, if they were sick, to seek out a physician. It's not spoken of in a negative sense here. It's not spoken of as an occult practice or a sinful thing. It's just spoken as a statement of fact. He doesn't say, well, the unbeliever needs a physician, or the wicked sick need a physician, or the backslidden sick need a physician. He just said the sick. It's not the well that need a physician, but the sick. So the sick Jew would seek out a physician. Now remember, the Jewish community was self-contained. If they went to the market, they went and bought from a fellow Jew. I mean, the Jewish population was huge. This is Judea. So they were buying from the Jews. They didn't go to the Roman market and buy from the Romans. They were a self-contained society. Neither would a Jew go to a Greek or Roman physician, because they weren't going to go into no temple of Asclepius, that's for sure, to seek some magic treatment and hocus pocus. But there were Jewish physicians. So they would go for treatment. And my point is that it's not that we have to seek out a Christian physician, but that there is a medical profession that is disassociated from occultism and magic and witchcraft and so forth. So, obviously, that's the case. Yes, brother. We'll get you the microphone.
I think it's pretty obvious from all the context that you've given us that just like in biblical times as it is today, there are people who honestly have, you know, work at the profession of a healer in the best way that they can. And there are people also that are charlatans that, you know, will try to use the fact that someone's sick to get money out of them.
Absolutely.
So, and I think that those are condemned, and they should be. And those that are not, that are just doing the best they can and doing their job, are just doing the best they can. That's
right.
Not as good as what the Lord will provide, but
that's
it's,
right.
It's the best that they can.
Good point. Let's see it as a field that is, as far as spiritual, is spiritually neutral. However, you do have to be discerning and aware, because just as Lonnie pointed out, there are those within the medical field who borrow heavily from the New Age world, the realm of even the demonic. So
was Luke a Jewish physician?
He was a Gentile. And he wrote two books of the New Testament. You know,
he gave us
Luke and Acts, and he's referred to as the beloved physician, Luke, the beloved physician. But same time, we don't see where he carried around his medical bag. He prayed for the sick and so forth like the others did. And my whole point is this. Let us not look with disdain upon the medical profession. Let us see them as people who are practicing, skilled practitioners of healing, arts, healing sciences, doing their best to combat people's pain, sickness, and suffering. We look to the Lord, number one, primarily. And we know that any healing that people get, it's because the Lord willed it so. And the Lord has designed our bodies in such a way that really they'll heal themselves. We do have to be careful that you don't let people just try anything on you, because you know the medical practice is still practicing. And people still suffer many things. Suffer many things at the hands of many physicians. But I shared this tonight because I don't want anyone to feel guilt, shame, condemnation because they went to a doctor. The Lord heals. He's the healer. And maybe the thought never even crossed your mind that you would feel guilt or condemnation for going to a doctor. Maybe it never even crossed your mind. And really, it shouldn't, because I don't want you to think that there's a contradiction, that you can go one way or the other, but that to do both is a lack of faith on your part. In all things, we have to look to the Lord and trust Him. He is our ultimate healer. Well, amen. I'm quitting there. Amen. Well, let's bow our heads. Father, we do desire to look to you and trust you in all things and at all times. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be wise, you would help us to be faithful, you would help us to live lives of spiritual consistency. And help us to live our lives in such a way that we do honor and glorify you. Lord, deliver us, I pray, from putting all of our confidence in the arm of the flesh. Lord, let our confidence always be in you, in your goodness, your mercies, your compassion, your faithfulness, your word, your promise. Bless your people, Lord, I pray, with wisdom, with grace, with health, with wholeness and soundness of body and mind. We pray for those who couldn't be here with us tonight. We pray your blessing upon them. Bless us as we go forth. Lord, we pray that you use us for your glory. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Hallelujah. If anyone has a need,